We welcome you today to the Wayne County Bible Center on this October 21st, 2022. We're continuing our series on the high calling that we have by Christ Jesus in God. As Paul said, I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And today's message is going to be taken from Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. And the title of today's message is My Identity in Christ, which is a huge part of God's high calling in your life. How you view yourself, how you look at your life, your self-identity, your self-worth, how you identify yourself. We live in a nation that is fractionalized. There are fractions everywhere, the way people describe themselves. You know, I am who I say I am. You know, we folks say, well, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, I'm a Libertarian, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Catholic, I'm heterosexual, I'm homosexual, I'm transgender. Everybody wants to tell you who you are or who they are. And I want to tell you today, biblically, who it says we are as a child of God. And how this should affect our lives in every area thereof. So in Colossians chapter 3, and then next week we're going to get into how the founding fathers felt America found its identity in Christ and in Christian values. And they made that very, very clear, regardless of the lies you're told today. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, if you're born again, seek those things which are above where Christ sits on the right hand of God, and set your affection on things above in your desire, not on things of the earth, for you have died to self. Coach Sis sent me a text this Wednesday night while we were having our discussion that I'll try to remember. I've got it in my notes to read to you. You are dead in your old life, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we also are going to appear with Him in glory. Praise Jesus for that. You know, I've really been praying for that, for Christ to come on and appear. You know, where every tear is going to be dried, every battle is going to be over. I have never experienced being involved and being around so much death as I have in the last 2 years. 38 years in the ministry, in these last 2 years, Patty and I were going over and over how many folks we've lost in this fellowship, in our community, in our family, folks we have ties with. In Charleston, and here we go again today, and here I'll go again in September, and it's a constancy of being around death, and you wonder, you say that casts a shadow over you. Yet you know, when we were made in the image of God before man's fall, we were made to live forever, and you know, we still got that. Now, when we get reborn, we are going to be living forever in the presence of God. But even in this life, we fight to live. You know, I don't shed tears for my sister Sandra Miller, but I do shed tears for the children and grandchildren that are left behind. And that separation that we experience, I praise God for the children of God, that there'll come a day when there's no more separation. And so when Paul says, when Christ, who is our eternal life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with Him in glory. Thank you, Jesus. There is a glory. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, if I come to you today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly sin. I confess this filth unto you. Isaiah says it's filth, and he got lifted up into your presence, so he ought to know. He heard holy, 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 and then he described his sin as filth. Father, help me see my sin the way Isaiah, who saw you high and lifted up, saw his. And so, Father, I confess these things to you, and I thank you that it's only you I have to confess to out loud, as 1 John says. And you say that I am cleansed by your blood, and I believe that, and I know that. And so, Father, I ask to be cleansed by your blood, anointed by your Spirit, filled with your Spirit and a spirit of humility to wash the feet of these that have gathered today in this building and those that will listen on this website as a servant. And Father, get me out of the way, and may your Holy Spirit be our teacher today. And Father, I just pray that you will be glorified above all. Jesus, you're the answer to everything we face. All my springs are in you, as the psalmist says. And so we lift up the name of Jesus. We lift up salvation in Jesus Christ. And we lift up a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as the foundation of any life that it's going to fulfill their purpose here on earth. We thank you. Holy Spirit, take over. In your name we pray. Amen. In Colossians 3 verse 1 it says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And in verse 3 it says, for you are dead in your old life, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, what's that saying there? It's saying you have died to your old life, and now your life is hid. In the Greek, that means hid and covered. Your life is hid with Christ in God, or covered by Christ in God. And in verse 4, it says, when Christ shall appear, but when Christ, who is now our life, Christ is now my life. And so I want to give you this one phrase today. My life in Christ. So when you're talking to me and you're saying, this is what I want to do with my life, my friend, you're not filling in the blank. It's no longer your life. It's your life in Christ. As Paul says in Galatians 2, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:20, the life that I now live. So it's no longer Leo Dahl's life. Because he suffered and died for me, because he gave his life on Calvary's cross for me, it is now my life in Christ. And there are many different directions. What are you doing with your life in Christ? And how often do you think about your life in Christ? And look at what he says. When Christ, who is our life, Christ is now our life. So, I want you to understand your identity, or how you view yourself, your self-identity of my life in Christ gives me my self-worth, my self-esteem, my self-purpose, as long as it's based on my life in Christ. In a few moments, I'll tell you the various different ways most people view themselves, and it's not based on their life in Christ. So, how I view my present life, my existence here on earth, my purpose for living. Now, I said a moment ago, a lot of people identify themselves, even those that go to church, identify themselves with a religious affiliation. And again, I don't need 100 emails from the website. The bottom line is religion has done a lot of wonderful things, and religion, God has used religion, and a lot of people get saved because of their religion. A lot of people get saved in spite of their religion. So I'm not here to cast a disparaging mark on religion. Religion in its proper place is a good thing. So a lot of people describe themselves as a Baptist. I did for many years as a Methodist. Whatever religion they are. But when your identity is in Christ, and you're not going to have to turn there, you've heard me say this 100 times. When I identify myself as a born-again, spirit-indwelt child of God. And if you're taking that, write that down. I'm a born-again, spirit-indwelt child of God. That is my identity in Christ. I am a born again. John chapter 3. You must be born again. John chapter 3, you must be born of the Spirit. I am a born again Spirit indwelt. Romans chapter 8, if you have not the Spirit of God in you, you are none of His. I am a born again Spirit indwelt child of God. Romans chapter 8, when the Holy Spirit enters into your heart, He unites with your spirit and cries out, Abba Father. I am now a child of God. Ephesians chapter 2. In times past, you walked according to the desires of your lust. You were children of wrath and children of disobedience. But now by grace through faith you are saved and you are now a child of God. So based on John chapter 3, Romans chapter 8, Ephesians chapter 2, I can identify myself as a born again, spirit indwelt, child of God. Now, Ken just talked about the praise song lifting us up. Man, that lifts you up. There's power in that statement. You go up to somebody and you want to share with them the love and power of Jesus Christ, and they say, well, what do you consider yourself? Oh, I'm a Baptist or I'm a Catholic. But what if you look them dead in the eye and say, look, I'm a born-again, spirit-dwelt child of God, and I'm about to tell you what all that leads us into. But the bottom line is, I identify myself as being born again. I identify myself as being indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. And I identify myself as now being a child of God. Now, the secular media will tell you, we're all children of God. You know, we're all children of God. And that's a lie. Biblically, God loves everybody. And I praise God for that. For in that while I was yet a sinner and an enemy of Christ, God loved me. I want to praise God for that. God died on the cross for me. For God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son. So I praise God. The truth is God loves everyone. God has made everyone in the likeness of His own image. That's true. But according to Ephesians 2, in our old life without Jesus, we are children of the prince of this air, children of disobedience, children of wrath. When I become born again, I become a child of God. And I've brought into that, and that's why I've got brothers and sisters in Christ. So it's very important that you understand your self-identity. Coach Sis, probably I agree with Billy Graham again. You know, 80% of people that go to church have no concept of what we're talking about this morning. Now, as a born-again, spirit-indwelt child of God, I've got to grasp a foundation principle that needs to consume my life. So turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, the scripture says this, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation, in your salvation, with fear and trembling. That's my part. I'm to work out, I'm to take seriously my personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but I want you to understand what the Holy Spirit's doing. Verse 13, for it is God which works in you by the indwelling of the Spirit. And I can show you 12 verses on that right now. Both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So, as a born again, spirit indwelt child of God, I must realize that God is working in me and God desires to work in me. And I need to place myself before the Lord regularly, daily, to allow Him to work in me. Now, I want to elaborate on this in a simple statement. God is working in us and on us. I want you to understand that. God desires to work in us and on us. And I praise God, as the psalmist says, God is on my side. I praise God because God is on my side. He's not only working in us and on us, God is working for us. God is working for us. You ever had a situation in your life where you're battling and battling and trying to work this out and trying to work that out, and you're beating a square peg into a round hole, and then all of a sudden out of quote unquote nowhere something comes up and this happens and that happens and everything gets taken care of. Everything gets taken care of in the blink of an eye. And you say, man, you know, where'd you... Oh, well, I was aware and I was working on this. And, you know, God had put it on my heart to do this for you or to open this door or whatever. You know, God is working for us even when we don't see Him working for us. You need to claim that, grab hold of that, and believe that by faith. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. God's got a plan, God's got a purpose, and He is working it out. You just don't want to end up like Gamaliel, what Gamaliel said. You don't want to find yourself fighting against God when behind the scenes He's trying to work something out in your life. And I'm speaking by my experience. God had a plan the whole time. So God is working in us and on us and for us, and God is working through us. So He's working in us, He's working on us, He's working for us, and He's working through us to carry out and complete His good plan for your life. Kelly, God's got a good plan for your life. Blair, God's got a good plan for your life. Emma, God's got a good plan for your life. And I say that to my young people. God's got a good plan for your life. Took me till I got called into the ministry to trust God's plan for my life. I mean, that was out of left field, Cam. I mean, I'm a sales rep, company car, the whole nine yards. Hilton Head's part of my territory. I got my two quarter horses in the back, living in Walterboro. Got a lot of family there, cattle, farms, dove hunting, quail hunting. I got a plan for you, man. So I went and told my pastor, I said, you know, craziest thing, I think God's calling me to preach. He goes, well, if He's calling, I said, but you don't understand, I got a problem. Number one, I can't speak in front of a crowd. And number two, I don't have a seminary degree. He said, well, the only way we're going to know is I'm going to let you preach for me Sunday night. And that was on a Wednesday. We went to Columbia, South Carolina that night, to Shiloh Baptist Church, and we heard a guy named Ron. I can't remember his last name, but boy, he was dynamic. He preached a message called Jesus is Passing By. I took as many notes as I could. That Sunday night, I preached a message called Jesus is Passing By. I hope I put my own twist on it. But as I got up from that back pew and walked forward, always sat on the back pew. Every Baptist church I ever been in, I sat on the back pew. As I got up from that back pew and walked forward, I felt an overwhelming peace. An overwhelming peace. And I knew. I knew what God's plan was for my life. 23 years old. 23 years old at that point. So God is working in us. He's working on us. He's working for us, and He's working through us to accomplish and work out His good plan for our life. Now, I'll give you details of this in the coming weeks, but I want you to see three results, and we're going to see three results, and you can claim them right now. When God is working on me, in me, for me, and through me to work out His plan for my life, number one, I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be blessed. Number two, God is going to be glorified. God is going to be glorified. And number three, others are going to be ministered to in the name of Jesus. Now, my friend, that gives your life an entire purpose. I'm going to be blessed. God is going to be glorified. And others are going to be ministered to. And I want you to understand, if we can bring young people up in this paideia, in this upbringing, educating them biblically in every other way, and educating them with an understanding that God has a plan and a purpose for your life, that the foundation of your life is not in the identity of worldly things, but of those things which are above, that you've got to seek your identity in Christ, fulfill and live out your identity in Christ, then, my friend, we'll see things turn around in America. It's Romans chapter 1 that we've been studying. When they have removed God from their minds and from their knowledge, that's why we're in the mess we're in today. And so we want to bring back this knowledge. So go with me to Galatians chapter 2. I spoke of it a moment ago. So what's another part of my identity in Christ Jesus? Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says this. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh. That means the life I'm living as a human being here on earth. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Certainly I've got faith in the Son of God, but the empowerment of the faith of the Son of God. I've got Jesus Christ's faith, the power of the resurrection, all this as the Holy Spirit indwells me. I live by the faith of the Son of God. And there are some translations that change that to in. That's incorrect. The Greek is of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So what I want you to understand in this is that the mentality is the no longer I. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives within me. No longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. God is working this out in my life. Go with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And this is a prayer every day, and John the Baptist said it, and it gives us freedom, it gives us release, it gives us power, because in a moment I'm going to show you the bondage that most of our population's in, and it's worse today than it has ever been. And in John chapter 3, John is asked about Jesus being the Messiah, and he says again, you know, I'm not the Messiah. I came to pave the way for the Messiah. And in John chapter 3, verse 30, he says this, he, Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease. He that comes from above is above all, but me, I'm of the earth, and I'm earthy, and speak of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. And so this is your prayer. It's no longer I that live, but I need Christ living in me and through me and for me. I must decrease so that he can increase, or he must increase so that I will decrease. And Jesus is above all in my life. And that's a great prayer to pray every morning if you want freedom. If you want to be able to describe yourself, Lord, increase in my life today so that I will decrease. Father, it's no longer I that's living, but you're living in me and through me, and your faith is in me. The power of your resurrection is in me through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you are Lord over all in my life. That's empowering. That's freeing. That will help you in your decision making, in your relationships. In every area with your anxiety, in every area and every aspect of your life. Now, I want you to go back to Galatians 2:20 very quickly, and I want to give you the second part of that song, of that, not a psalm, but of that verse. In Galatians 2:20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. I have died to self. So I want you to understand something. You've got your old self and you've got your new self. You die to the old self. You die, you're wanting the power of the Spirit to mortify your old self. A lot of people try to hold on to their old self, or don't seek to let go of certain things in their lives. But I want to share with you something Coach Sis sent to me Wednesday night out in an article that he was reading. And it says this. It says, your new life is going to cost you your old one. It's going to cost you your comfort zone and your sense of direction. It's going to cost you some relationships and some friends. It's going to cost you at times of being liked and understood. But it doesn't matter. The people who are meant for you by God are going to meet you on the other side. There's nothing that goes away with the old life that God does not bless in a better way in the new life. You're going to build a new comfort zone around the things that will actually move you forward spiritually in the blessed life. And he says this, and this is beautiful. This is a lady that wrote this, right? She says this, all you're going to lose is what was built or given for a person you no longer are. Is that not awesome? The only thing God's trying to get out of your life are the things for the person that you no longer are. The life that I now live, look at what he says. I am crucified with Christ. I've died to a lot of that old stuff. Nevertheless, I'm still alive physically. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, my identity in Christ is based on the fact that Jesus Christ loves me. And he loved me so much, he willingly sacrificed his life for me. And I'm going to get to this in about 30 seconds, but the bottom line is this. You've been created to feel loved. And you've been created to feel loved by God. Now, go with me. What does it mean to be in Christ? I've got a series of these verses. We'll not get to them today. But go with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Says this, very simple. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now what does that mean? What does it mean that there is no condemnation to me if I am in a born-again relationship with Christ Jesus? It means that your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. And the sin barrier is removed between you and God. And you are brought into a relationship with Jesus, which means you are accepted by God. You are received by God. And you've been reconciled unto God. It's all about relationship. So the fact that there is no condemnation once you get saved, it means I'm accepted by God, I'm received by God, I'm reconciled to God. You'll see in a moment I belong to God because I am agape, divinely, unconditionally loved by God. And once that becomes the foundation of your life, you're not going to depend or seek these other things I'm going to show you in a moment. But why is that important? That I'm received by God, I'm loved by God, I'm accepted by God. You have been made in the image of God with the capability, one part of that. I did a huge study on that this week, and it's amazing how Jesus Christ fulfilled that in human form. And oh man, it's huge. But anyway, One of the aspects of being made in the image of God, you have the capability or the ability to relate to God and to have a personal relationship with God, body, soul, and spirit. Your spirit can reason and logically understand and receive and exhibit faith in Jesus Christ. And this, your spirit's where the Holy Spirit comes in and indwells. So you have been made by God with a longing. You know, people always say there's a void there. There's a gnawing there. You know, I knew something was missing, but I didn't know what it was. Yeah, it was your personal relationship with Jesus. It was being saved. It was the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But notice what he says. What that means is, you have been made by God with a longing to feel or to be loved and accepted by God. But don't even take it there. You've been born with a longing to be loved and to be accepted and to experience a sense or a feeling of belonging to. Loved and accepted and a sense or a feeling of belonging to. Now we know the ultimate reality of that is God. Christian Manifesto, Schaefer. The ultimate reality of that is God. To be accepted by, to be loved by, to be in a relationship with, and to belong to God. And so, that's our self-identity. That's how we value ourselves, and that's how we base our worth. But that's not the reality for most people. Most people lack a strong, unwavering, Christ-centered, positive self-identity of a life in Christ. I'm going to say it again. Most people lack a strong, unwavering, Christ-centered, positive self-identity or self-worth or self-value or what I've always called a godly self-esteem. So what do people base their self-worth on a daily basis? And I was reading an author, and he said this, what he's talking about is the opinion that you hold concerning yourself. What's it based on? Is it based on, I love Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ loves me, and he's got a plan for my life, and he's going to take care of this? Now, I was getting ahead of myself this week in my prayer time, and I was laying out all this stuff, and man, I was overwhelming myself. And then I finally said, Lord, I'll just cross that bridge when I get to it. Got all these dates. Got to close on August 30th. You say, Brother Leo, do you have to be there? No. But they make me sign these documents over the internet. I am not good at even getting on the internet. And this little pin pops up. I mean, it's in it. I don't even see how this stuff's legal. You could take it to the zoo and let a monkey play with that pin. How do they know it's me? That concerns me. You got that little camera thing looking at you. Patty's always taking Alexis out of the wall. She goes, she hears everything you're saying, Leah. I'm watching the news saying stuff. She's running back there unplugging Alexa. She goes, you ever run for anything, you're sunk. All this is going to get played. But anyway, what do we base our self-worth or our self-identity on? This author gave, I think, four things. Number one, what others may think of you or say about you. What others may think about you or say about you. You remember Matthew chapter 5? What did Jesus say? He says, beware, you know, don't concern yourself with what men say about you for my sake. 2,000 years ago, it's human nature to let that affect you. What people may say about you or think about you. Secondly, he said, worldly achievements and success are failures. People let their successes define them to themselves, or their failures define them to themselves. They feel accepted, or they feel that they're doing good based on success or failure. We're going to have failure in this life. In this life, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have hard times. A lot of times people say, you know, what's wrong with me? There may be nothing at all wrong with you. But you can't define yourself by that. And if you're not defining yourself by your relationship with Jesus. Thirdly, he spoke of self-glorification or notoriety. People that seek out positions of power or authority or notoriety or self-glorification. That takes us back to the rabbis that would seek the chief seats in the synagogue. They go in the marketplace and everybody bows down and says, Rabbi, Rabbi, Rabbi. So that's how they define themselves. That's how they define themselves. Then thirdly, the accumulation of money, worldly possessions, etc. We live in a world where a lot of people are defined or think they define themselves by the kind of clothes they wear, the houses they live in, the cars they drive. You know, every aspect of their horizontal life. You know, the my dog's meaner than your dog's philosophy. I got a better dog than what you've got. I'm a better person. Material possession. There are folks that say all the time, you know, oh, I only can wear a certain brand or whatever. When you get to that point, you're defining yourself that way. Keith and some of these guys know I'm trying to find a truck. I had Patty look on Poshmark. She always gets these deals on her dresses. I said, see if they got a truck on Poshmark. Guy had an F-150 advertised the other day. Didn't have a price. I called him, Pastor. I asked him his price. He gave it to me. I said, sir, you misunderstood me. Now, I'm not trying to buy your house. I'm asking about your truck. This world's gone nuts. Stop it. Let me get off. I'm ready to get off. But people define themselves that way. By material possessions. And what you're doing, you're defining yourself on sinking sand. You're defining yourself on shifting sources. You know, one day you're going to be the, you know, dad's favorite. The next day you're going to be the black sheep of the family. You cannot define yourself in this inconsistent, worldly, carnal way. We've got to define ourselves by the way we were created in the image of God. We are accepted by God. We are loved by God. And we belong to God. Now let me show you three verses as I close today. Go to John chapter 6. And this ought to give you peace. And this is never going to change. And this is the way you want to look at your life. And in John chapter 6 verse 35 it says this. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, never want, never lack contentment. And he that believes on me shall never thirst. And in verse 37, all that the Father gives me shall come to me. And him that comes to me, I will never, ever, ever cast out. I belong to God and I'm always going to belong to God. And Cameron, that gives me peace. The whole world turns against us. If mother and father forsake us, if loved ones turn away, we will always have God to take care of us. And that elevates our life. That elevates our way of living. I want to thank you, Jesus. You will never cast me out. I want to thank you, Jesus, that you are always there for me. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verse 12 says this, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." To them that receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, those that believe by faith on his name. Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. I want to praise God that it's not the opposite as I've read those verses. I came unto Jesus, and he received me not. That's not how it works. I want to praise God. Every time I come unto Jesus, he receives me in prayer and as I approach him. And when I came unto him for salvation, he received me once and for all. You ever dealt with a person, sometimes you call them, they're nice as they can be, and other times you call them, they're short with you? People hold folks in emotional bondage. We grow up in families where we're held in emotional bondage. I was an only child. I never got the chance to have as much baggage as the rest of you folks have. I mean, I know folks that can tell me right now, oh, so-and-so is my mom's favorite. Guess what? I was my mom's favorite. So, oh, that's dad's favorite. Yeah, guess what? I was dad's favorite. That affects a child. They say, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? But I want you to understand, your earthly parents are not perfect, but your heavenly Father is. So don't base your self-identity on the imperfect. Base it on the perfect. Jesus Christ loves you. He will always love you. He loves you unconditionally. And he receives you when you come unto him. So many times, Patty's heart breaks, you know, when she's at school. She always wants to see, like when she has cafeteria duty, and sometimes she has it with Coach Sis. She always wants to see these young people have somebody to sit with and eat with. It breaks her heart if they're eating alone. And so belonging is a huge thing. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians... And I always tell Patty when she leaves, I say, now make sure you sit with Coach Sis so we won't have to sit alone. And I tell Coach Sis, don't let anybody beat Patty up and take her lunch money. So we always have this going. But I want to show you, a lot of people think this verse is restrictive. This verse is wonderful. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 says this, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you?" The temple of the Holy Spirit. My body is a temple. Galatians 3, when I get saved, God sends the Holy Spirit from heaven into me, which you have of God, and you are no longer your own. I am bought with a price. The price is the life, the perfection, the body, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. People say, you know, you're saying I belong to God. I'm no longer my own. My friend, I don't want to any longer be my own. I praise God I belong to God. So that fulfills your sense of belonging. You know, I tell Patty all the time, and I've told her this for all the years we've been married. 39 years married, 38 years in the ministry. And I'm always at times at crossroads in my life, not knowing what direction I'm going in. And I'll tell Patty a lot of times, and I've always told her, so I say, you know, as long as I've got you, I make it. You know, as long as you and I are together, you know, we're going to make it. And whatever decision we make, whatever road we choose, as long as we're together, you know, I feel like I get that confidence from you, we're going to make it. But you know, the bottom line and the truth is, as long as you got God, you're going to make it. As long as you've got a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to make it. Because I may not always have Patty, and Patty may not always have me. here on earth. But we will always have Jesus Christ within our heart. And as long as you've got the Lord, you can make it. And I want to praise God. I belong to God. So my opinion of myself is based on the truth that I've been born again. I've been spirit indwelt. And I belong in the family of God with Abba, my Father, and my brothers and sisters in Christ. And that gives me great confidence to move forward in life. And to make decisions that are not based on fear or uncertainty, but are based on the direction and peace of the Holy Spirit. And it changes your entire way of thinking. And it breaks my heart that a great, great majority of people have no understanding of what we just looked at in the Scriptures. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to ask Martha Jo to play for a few moments. And as she's playing today, I'm going to ask you to just go before the Lord and ask the Lord through the conviction of the Holy Spirit to impress on your heart and to impress in your mind who you are in Christ Jesus today, how wonderful it is that you are in Christ Jesus today, and how everything in Christ is available to you, and He is going to take care of your life, the life of your loved ones. He is going to strengthen you. As I said earlier, I was thinking about this bridge I was going to have to cross. And the Lord says, not only are you going to cross it, I'm going to carry you across that bridge. I want to praise God for these truths in our lives. But just take a few moments and say, Lord, just reveal to my heart something more about how I belong to you. That my identity is who I am in Christ. Remind me, Lord, of who I am in Christ this day. And what that means. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that you take us by the hand, Father. That reminds me of who I am in Christ Jesus. You hold our hand, you hold our heart. You take us as a little child into your lap. And you will never leave us nor forsake us. I thank you, sweet Lord Jesus. I am a child of God in you. In your name we pray. Amen. As we close today, I'm going to ask Brother Charles Hastings. Charlie, if you would close us out with a word of prayer. And if you would